Well, imagine sitting on a computer keyboard with random letters and numbers flying everywhere. That's how fashion designer Steve Madden describes having ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It's a Ferrari engine brain with bicycle brakes. 1 in 20 New Zealanders have it. Nancy Armstrong is an award-winning executive producer whose husband and 3 children have ADHD. And she wants to change the way we think of it from disorder to secret power. So she made a documentary about people with ADHD, their families, and the doctors who treat them. It's called The Disruptors, and it's available on Apple TV, iTunes, and Google Play. Nancy, is this the film you wish someone had made when your kids were young?
Absolutely. You know, I could never understand why someone hadn't made this film. There were various little short films about ADHD, usually following one family or one person's experience. And most of them were very bad news. It was like, ADHD is really hard and challenging, the end. And I knew from my experience that that was partly true, but that there wasn't a film that really encapsulated the whole of what ADHD is. And mostly because I think we're still, as a society, wrestling with what we understand about ADHD. You know, it's there's a deep disconnection between what the public thinks that ADHD is and what we actually know it is from decades of research and hundreds, if not thousands, of studies. And what we know is that it's neurological. We know what part of the brain it affects. We know that it's highly heritable. And now we know from leading experts all over the country and all over the world, really, is that while there are challenges that need to be managed with ADHD, there are also some pretty impressive strengths. And if you can find a path in life to activate and accelerate those strengths, ADHD can be a huge asset.
Yeah, and just on that, Nancy, can we talk about that? Because we often hear, I mean, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. I say that name because that term ADHD is bandied around so much. Well, in terms of the name, do you think it's appropriate for what some of these adults and children experience? Is it a disorder or is it a trait?
Well, I would say it's a trait, but it can be a blessing and a curse. Because if you don't manage the things that are difficult about it, it can overwhelm the things that are great about it. So you really do need to be diagnosed and treated in some way. And there's a whole host of treatments that you can use. And we don't really advocate for any one of them in the film. We just say treatment is important. And we sort of go through what the different methods of treatment are. I don't think ADHD is a great name for it because it actually says attention deficit. And they don't have a deficit of attention. They have a surplus of attention. They're paying attention to too many things and their brain doesn't differentiate. This is the one thing you need to pay attention to right now. It pays attention to everything. You know, they look out the window, they see a squirrel, they get lost in thought on the squirrel because it's more interesting, perhaps, than what they're supposed to be paying attention to. So it's really a surplus of attention that they don't know how to focus it. And that's really where the struggle is.
One of the things in the film, you've really tapped into not only some international experts in ADHD, but you're able to call on quite a few people, celebrities, A-list celebrities, who really opened up to you, Nancy, about their journey with ADHD. You've got the likes of rapper and songwriter Will.i.am. You've got Paris Hilton. You've got Olympian Michelle Carter, personal trainer Jillian Michaels, and many more. And their experiences are all so different, so unique. And they give you such interesting insights, don't they, in terms of that notion of a blessing and a curse around ADHD?
Yes, it was wonderful to have some of these incredibly successful people speak to camera about their ADHD. And I think that that really goes a long way towards destigmatizing ADHD, because certainly none of them feel it is a bad thing to have. I mean, they definitely talk about the struggle growing up. Every single one of them struggled. There's just no exception to that rule. But the things they had in common that got them through childhood were parents, either one parent or two parents who were behind them, totally love them unconditionally. You know, it's a journey for parents and children, and the requisite amount of education for whatever path they chose, and believing in themselves. You have to like yourself by the time you get to adulthood. And a lot of times with people who grow up with ADHD, they've gotten so much negative feedback about what they don't do well, what they can't do, and what they're not doing, where they're not supposed to be, and just a constant barrage of negative feedback. So it makes it very difficult to believe in yourself once you arrive at adulthood. So that's the key. If you're a parent, is the key is get your child to adulthood intact.
Right.
You know, make sure your teachers are educated, because the teachers are not really educated, you know, writ large on ADHD. And so they misunderstand it for willfulness, bad behavior. And you can see how that can go down a very negative track. If you start getting in trouble in school and then you get put in a special classroom, that's what happened to one of the kids in the film. So the celebrities coming forward and talking about it, it was an amazing thing. And they were so happy to do the film. And they were so glad that the film was being made for that reason, is that it was time to destigmatize ADHD and talk about what it is totally, that it is a challenge, but it is also a strength. You know, one thing David Neeleman says in the film is, if someone told me I could take a pill and get rid of my ADHD, I would never do it. And so I think that speaks to, you know, the power of the ADHD brain that he's certainly learned to leverage. He's a serial entrepreneur, as are so many people with ADHD. But I think that really speaks to the fact, and, you know, he had a very difficult upbringing. He felt like a loser in high school because he just didn't learn the same way other kids learned. And he had bumps along the way in his career that I think are probably attributable to being ADHD. But the positive side was tremendous for him.
I'm with Nancy Armstrong talking about a new film about ADHD. It's a new documentary. It is called The Disruptors. And I just want to talk about, and by the way, if you can relate to this, if you and your whānau have someone with ADHD, why don't you get in touch? Text me 2101. Tell us your story. What really resonated too, because you're quite open about having ADHD in your family, your children, but your husband, Tim Armstrong, you know, very successful, it's fair to say, high-powered executive. And this is what he says. It's really, it's so very interesting. ADHD helped and hurt my career. Tim says, my creativity in business is my secret weapon. I can see things before they happen by connecting random pieces of information and data. This skill has allowed me to detect major opportunities that have changed my life and that of others. The downside, though, is that I'm late for things. I have trouble keeping up with calls and some deadlines. It bothers me, and it bothers others. Still, I wouldn't trade ADHD for anything, as it has defined my skills and made me unique in a world that values it. And I thought really that, in a sense, summed up an adult's experience of ADHD very well.
Yes, totally. I mean, that's true about Tim. He's a pretty brilliant guy. I mean, he's a serial entrepreneur. He's founded many companies, and he, you know, was one of the founding people, you know, one of the first 100 employees at Google when Google was just, you know, a new startup, and then went to AOL when it was a sinking ship. I mean, no one would have done that. No one would have gone from Google to AOL when AOL was like the Titanic.
But risk-taking.
He was the 15th. Risk-taking, and that's, you know, that's on the topic of, you know, one of the super skills of ADHD, but he definitely has the challenges, as he mentioned, and, you know, he's better at starting a company than doing the laundry. You know, doing the laundry is like kryptonite for him. But so it's almost like, in a way, they can do the really hard things, but they can't do the easy things, so it makes them look like they can't do things that are normal to do, but they can do extraordinary things. It's just the easy things that are, you know, easy for neurotypical people are harder for people with ADHD.
Yeah. Got to bring this up, Nancy. Is there still a perception that ADHD is a discipline problem or a parenting problem and not a real problem that needs to be diagnosed, a medical problem?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you how many experiences I've had. That's just one of the pervasive myths of ADHD, is that ADHD is not a real disorder, that it's just bad kids and bad parenting. I mean, my son and I were kicked out of Mommy and Me class when he was a toddler. That was pretty shocking as a first-time mom. You know, we had all kinds of crazy doctors telling us crazy things until it took us, you know, basically until he was 8 years old to get a diagnosis. And then at least we knew what we were dealing with and we could help him. And then one of the other myths is that it's only boys. It's just boys that have ADHD bouncing off the walls, but girls have ADHD at the same rate that boys do. Their diagnosis gets missed because they present so differently than boys. They are the daydreamers. They fidget. They are extremely emotional and hypersensitive to rejection. So we miss their diagnosis. They become overwhelmed in school, and then we attribute it to anxiety. So then they become diagnosed with anxiety or depression, but the underlying symptoms are ADHD. And of course, if you fall behind in school, you're late. You don't know what the teacher said every day. You have 10 assignments missing. I mean, I'm dealing with this in my house right now. So, but you know, it's just the ADHD. And I will say, what I want parents to know is, even if you know what it is, even if you're managing it, it's still going to be hard. It's going to be hard until you get your kids to adulthood. That's just the way it is. Growing up with ADHD is challenging.
You, because the disruptors, the film follows the challenges faced by five families as they navigate raising a child or children diagnosed with ADHD. And quoting, ADHD is parenting on steroids. You've alluded to your own experience there, Nancy. In terms of yourself, how have you found it as a mum and a wife?
Well, it's been a complete growth journey for me. I mean, I could cry when I might think about this, because it has been so difficult. It has really pushed me to the limits, particularly with my firstborn, who was a boy. So he was really, really high on the hyperactivity scale. And it was just a daily struggle. It's 24/7, 365, and it's like Groundhog Day. And so it was incredibly challenging, but I learned the kind of mother I want to be. And I learned to control my responses to things. And I'm not the most patient person in the world, but I learned to be patient. I learned how to completely monitor my response to everything and how to be supportive and how to hug them when they're the most frustrating. And so it's totally changed me as a person, I think, for the better. It's just, you know, raising children in general is a growth journey. Raising children with ADHD is a super growth journey.
Talking to Nancy Armstrong behind a new documentary. It's called The Disruptors. It's, you can see it on Apple TV, iTunes, Google Play. Also, you can check out online disruptorsfilm.com. And just going back to some of the myths there, Nancy, one of the other myths that you tackle is that ADHD is being overdiagnosed. Does the evidence you've looked at suggest it is overdiagnosed?
Well, just speaking pre-COVID, and again, I'm not an ADHD doctor, but I've spoken to all of them for endless hours. So this is what they say, is that really with diagnosis for boys, we've been flat for the last 10 years. So we are diagnosing boys very well and treating boys, and that's been flat for about 10 years. The reason the numbers are going up is because we are now beginning to better identify undiagnosed populations, and those are girls, women, adults in general, and teenagers. So the reason the numbers are going up is because of education and organizations and a focus on ADHD. We are diagnosing people better than we used to, and that's a good thing. You know, and it's interesting, ADHD is in the news. Every day I get 5 articles on ADHD. It's the most searched term on the internet. It affects 10% of the population. And it's a global, it's a global issue. And this film has the power to help tens of millions of kids and adults struggling to effectively manage ADHD. And it's time now to put a stop to the demoralizing stigma around this neurological trait. It survived for a reason. You know, these are our entrepreneurs, our explorers, our award-winning artists, our firefighters, you know, anything with a high stimulation. They're very drawn to high stimulation careers, ER doctors, where that might make a normal person a nervous wreck. it gets the dopamine flowing in a person with ADHD. So they feel great. You know, open heart surgery. There are countless examples of very highly rated surgeons who have ADHD, and it's because their brain turns on in that kind of a situation where someone else might go, you know, that would be too stressful. It's almost like the stress activates the brain.
One thing that comes to mind was comedian Howie Mandel saying that his parents were his safety net. And when they got the phone calls from school, you know, they tried to have a sense of humor. There was a wonderful little piece in the film that in the principal's office, he was asked, "What were you planning to do?" He said, "Get 3 bids." His parents were able to laugh when it was funny, knowing that he was just kind of that kind of kid. No malicious intent.
Yeah, I mean, he was really lucky to have those parents because they had a sense of humor and they understood him. And, you know, Howie's a wonderful guy, but he had a rough time. I mean, he didn't graduate from high school and his parents never made him feel bad about it. They always loved him. They said, "You'll find your path." And he did. He stepped up on a stage and said a few things that were funny. And there began his career because he had so much impulsivity and so much energy that was his creativity. He's an incredibly creative person. And when he got up on a stage, he could just let that roll. And it was valued up on a stage. It wasn't valued in high school, but on a stage where people want to be entertained, he was able to, you know, channel that creativity into an amazing career.
Your husband and children, they have ADHD. Do we know if it is hereditary?
Yes, it's highly heritable. It's okay. Something like in girls, it's 90% hereditary. And in boys, it's like almost 70% hereditary. So that's the biggest factor. Tim has it on his side of the family. I have it on my side of the family. So there's no surprise that all 3 of our children were diagnosed with ADHD. But we had no idea. You know, Tim grew up, no one spoke of ADHD growing up, you know, for him nor I. You know, we couldn't have been further from that understanding when our kids were diagnosed.
Yeah. Two of the kids in the film, Nancy, were expelled or suspended from school for their behavior. What makes a traditional school setting and learning a real challenge for these kids?
Well, I think it's rote learning. You know, being required to sit still, don't talk, don't engage. I mean, that is painful for a person with ADHD. You know, the more experiential learning is, the more engaging, the more the teacher is engaging and storytelling and keeping, you know, teaching is a talent. So not all teachers are talented. So to that extent, experiential learning is really good, really for all children, not just kids with ADHD. It's just that neurotypical children are able to sit there and not speak for 15 minutes while someone, you know, talks at the front of the classroom. But I think that's what makes it so difficult. And they're just, their brains tell them to get up, speak, you know, move across the room. And so they have a really hard time, particularly, you know, in those younger years, they don't really understand why they have to sit and their brains don't allow for it. So it's incredibly challenging. And it's neurological, so it really is not their fault. And the parents need to work with teachers to find ways to engage the child better in the class, put them in the front of the class. You know, they can have little foot fidget toys under the desk.
Right.
There are different ways to stimulate kids so that they can get through, you know, so that they can be a participant, a positive participant in class. Hmm.
With producer Nancy Armstrong this afternoon talking about her documentary, her new film called The Disruptors. It's about attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. They're saying that it can be a superpower. You can text me with your thoughts or views on this. You might have experienced it yourself. You can text me 2101. Did the families you spoke to feel like medication was helpful, if not scary, during the trial and error phase? What of the role of medication, Nancy?
Well, I think we really tried to take an agnostic view of medication in the film. it's definitely a tool in the toolbox of things you can use to manage ADHD. Medication, when used properly, can be very effective and is very effective in 80% of people who try it. 20%, it doesn't work for. And so then that doesn't work. The scary thing is trial and error, because you don't know which medication to use. So sometimes you have to try one, then you have to try to adjust the dosage. And then if that doesn't work, you try it. It doesn't make you feel good. You try a different one. So that is a very uncomfortable process, particularly to go through with a child. But for me personally, in my own experience, when my son was 8, he was struggling so much and life was so miserable for him. And I talked to a psychologist, his pediatrician, and the diagnostician, and they all said to me, you know, as I was hesitating on medicating him, he can't take much more of this. Like, this is not this constant negative feedback and having a terrible day every day is not good for his emotional development. So see if it helps him. And, you know, fortunately it did help him. You know, we still did other things like tutoring and coaching and behavioral therapy and all those things. We ran the whole gamut to get ourselves in a better position with him. But medication really did help him dramatically, you know, on day one. And he was so relieved. You know, he came running out of the school onto the playground where all the parents pick up, and he ran into my arms and said, "Mommy, I didn't get a warning today. I know how to behave now. And it just breaks your heart. But so that was our experience. But we say, you know, it's a personal choice, but the research is there, and there's more research on ADHD medications than any other medication, you know, anyone will ever take. And that's because they use them with children. So there has been so much research, but again, it's a personal decision.
And to find out more, you can watch the film The Disruptors. It's a new film by executive producer Nancy Armstrong. It's on Apple TV, iTunes, Google Play. You can see more at disruptorsfilm.com. Nancy, very nice to have you on the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.